This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this, of course, is Tech Talk here on Enterprise. We're going to have a chat about something I find really, really interesting. It's something that I've heard about and I've seen advertised elsewhere, and I've kind of seen it pop up on my YouTube every now and again. We're talking about VTubers or VTubing. And the reason that I want to talk about this today is because I saw an article over at the Play Mail with a Malaysian VTuber agency who are aiming to expand the limits of creating content and live streams. And if you don't know what VTubing is, essentially they are online entertainers who use computer graphic generated avatars and different characters designed by a whole bunch of artists. And they have, you know, for some people, they have great appeal because they're not really bound by physical limitations or gender or all of this kind of stuff. And a couple of people I've got on the phone with me right now are a couple of fellas who are behind this agency. Do you want to introduce yourself, guys? Let's start off with Jonathan.
Hi, yeah. So my name is Jonathan Yen, one of the founders of Project Hikayat. And then this is my partner.
Hello, I'm Joshua, a longtime VTuber fan and also co-founder of Project Hikayat, the VTuber agency.
Excellent. Nice to meet you guys.
Now, nice to meet you too.
Let's start off with the nature of VTubing. I mean, I've kind of given a very brief introduction as to what it is, but tell me a little bit about it. Yeah. Where did it start and how did that culture kind of grow?
Well, when you really talk about the nature of VTubing, right, we are really talking about Japan in late 2016. Mm. Well, you know, people might contest with me on this, you know, when technically did VTube start? But I really point to Kizuna Ai in late 2016 because not only was she the first to coin the word VTubing, but she was also the first to make it a breakthrough international phenomenon. Mm. I mean, I remember when I was that age in 2016 and I heard about Kizuna Ai for the first time, she was everywhere, you know. Suddenly this niche kind of thing that, you know, Japanese animation and all these things were blowing up on newspapers, blowing up on YouTube, blowing up everywhere because people couldn't fathom this new type of content, this new technology that came behind Kizuna Ai.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, really, what was interesting is that after Kizuna Ai launched in late 2016, she amassed a large number of followers, I think millions in a few months. We saw many other VTubers sprout up, you know, people like Kaguya Luna and Mirai Akari. But what really set these people apart were that they were ran by corporations. Right. So Kizuna Ai was run by Active8, and, you know, all these other VTubers were backed by large corporations, mainly because you needed a lot of money to enter into this business in the first place.
Why is that? Why would they need money?
You need a whole studio. You need maybe a cinematographer, a technical crew, a whole 3D tracking suit. Because what Kizuna Ai and the early VTubers really were 3D people interacting in an entirely 3D space.
Right.
And what was interesting about that is that while they were doing that, they could interact with real-life people, real-life audiences, as well as whole real-time events such as concerts and live streams.
Mm. I mean, this is not something simple, is it? I mean, it's not a kind of simple setup.
Mm, yes, yeah, it's not. No, it wasn't not simple at all. Yeah, really.
Which is why precisely when with the now current popular emergence of VTubing, if you probably can tell the difference between Kizuna Ai and the more modern, at least the more mainstream ones right now, is that they're not 3D. So you guess you could say the barrier entry has diminished or at least it's been less complicated. Hence why it became a lot more prevalent recently.
Do you think that's partly because the audience has grown, and because the audience has grown, there's like the economy of scale kind of brings the price of software down and that kind of thing?
Well, that's really a chicken and egg kind of question, right? I think.
Right.
I think we really saw the limitations pushed down because companies started realizing if we decrease the barriers of entries, we can push out more and more VTubers for more and more people to consume. And when companies did that, slowly the technology behind VTubing become publicly accessible. So now we have apps like VTube Studio, which is really a face tracking application from a software developer in Germany. Mm-hmm. And right, really now all you need is a phone, a computer, and that's basically it, you know, which is why we really saw a rise in independent VTubers in, I would say, 2019 to 2020.
Right. I'm interested to look at or to talk about where this platform is, the kind of idea is shared. I mean, you talk about the idea of VTubing in its name. People would assume it's via YouTube, but it's not necessarily all via YouTube, is it? It's via Twitch and it's via other streaming platforms too. What kind of platforms were we looking at then? I mean, what are the big ones?
So I think as with all forms of content creation, people tend to navigate towards YouTube and Twitch. And as you said, you know, the term virtual VTuber is shorthand for virtual YouTuber or virtual tuber, right? So really the main platforms that they stream on is Twitch and YouTube. But what we have seen in recent times is people trying to experiment and get on other platforms to varying amounts of success. Obviously nowhere near as successful as they would be on YouTube or Twitch, but you know, now we see with the rise of apps like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, people are trying to adapt their content to fit on those platforms and see what they can do with it, really.
Right. And so for like the people who are consumers of this content, I mean, obviously you guys were consumers of this content before you decided to form an agency for it. And for you, what do you think was the appeal of it?
Well, really for me, I think that... Well, to put it into perspective, rather paradoxically, I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but let's talk about what VTubers actually are, right? They are real people who stream using a virtual avatar, as you said in your intro, right? Yeah. So these avatars or these people that are pretending to be this character exist solely in the online space. Mm-hmm. What's funny about this is that these characters that exist solely online feel very real. They feel almost as real as you or me. Mm-hmm. And that's what really drew me towards them. It was a strong sense of connection, a strong sense of emotion. And it felt like even though this person I knew was playing a character, it created real, genuine moments for me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe to outsiders who are listening to this, who don't really understand what I'm saying, let me put it into perspective for you. Imagine in late 2019 when we were... all watching Endgame in cinemas, when we could go to cinemas during that time.
Oh, I remember those days.
And I think Robert Downey Jr. Or, you know, Tony Stark, as he was acting as, said his last lines as Iron Man. He said, "I am Iron Man." He snapped his finger, saved the world, brought balance back to the Force. And sorry, wrong movie. But... what really happened was we heard people crying in the cinema, right? People were in tears. People were mourning essentially a fictional character that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. We all know that Robert Downey Jr. didn't die. I mean, he's obviously alive and well. But people still cried over the death of Tony Stark. Mm. So in that sense, I think outsiders can kind of relate to it in that way. You know, these are fictional characters. We all know that. They play their characters to varying degrees, putting elements in themselves in it sometimes or, you know, entirely just separating themselves from the character. But in any case, you can form real, genuine connections to these people. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, is it the same for you?
In some case, it is because, okay, unlike Joshua, I was a bit more casual and I had probably maybe a similar perspective when this thing first came to most people, outsiders. When this first blew up, because I was like, what is this? What's going on? Like, this is anime, but it's not because there's real people behind it. So at first I was kind of like, what's going on? So then one day I decided, okay, you know what? I'll give it a try. I'll watch. And it was a very surreal experience knowing that whoever this person is playing a character is also a real person. So it's almost like as if you're watching a stage play, but yet you could be a part of the stage. And that experience really opened my eye into like, I see why people can, this appeals to people.
Right. So I assume you've heard the idea of like the third space, this space that we can choose to adopt as individuals that we find as our safe space. Mm-hmm, So, you know, we live in one space, we work in a second space, and the third space is that space where we go to kind of unwind and, you know, be creative or whatever it is. Yep. A lot of younger people find online gaming as, you know, is the perfect place for their third space. Some people find the library as their third space. Mm-hmm. Would you assume that this for you guys is your third space? And, you know, in a kind of extension of that, some of these VTubers see that space as their third space too.
I'd say personally for me, it's probably more, at least I think, it's probably more more relevant to the VTubers themselves as being their space, because it allows them to not only be judged, but also they have more freedom in doing content that that they can perhaps do. So just with less restrictions, really. It's quite hard to describe, because like the best way I can describe is, because even before the VTubing, right, there's the whole thing where, you know, there's performers or like on stage and everything, when you wear a mask and everything, often some people, they tend to act quite differently to their real selves.
Yeah.
If you give them a mask, even in real life.
Yeah.
And that can be best be seen in the VTubing, except digitally.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a short break here, guys.
Sure.
Folks, I'm on the phone with the fellas behind Malaysian VTuber agency, Project Hikayat. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, chatting a little bit more about this and the potential for people with the disabilities, in fact, who might be able to get involved with this. That's something we'll be talking about. And of course, we really should be talking about things like earnings, engagements, and following. That's going to come up after the break here on Tech Talk on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Tech Talk here on Enterprise on BFM. We're having a little bit of a chat about VTubers, or virtual YouTubers, as a lot of people call them, because on the phone with me right now, I have two guys behind a VTuber agency. It's called Project Hikayat. I have Jonathan Yen and Joshua Ho. Oh, they're on the phone with me right now. We had a bit of a chat about the nature of VTubing, where it came from, why did it start, and who it appeals to, and that kind of thing. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, a bigger, kind of more holistic picture. I want to approach this, and I said to you before this interview, because I know you guys, you know, you weren't kind of worried about talking about this, but you wanted to know where the conversation was going to go, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a topic we obviously need to address, because there are some people who might look at Japanese anime and you know, they might frown a little bit. Because they assume that there is a certain stigma attached to it. How do you explain to people that, you know, it's not what you think it is?
Well, I think there's not really any way to explain to people it's not what you think it is if they are kind of, you know, set in that way of perceiving this.
Yeah.
Because what we have seen classically with nerd culture, you know, and anime is a part of nerd culture, you know, let's not beat around the bush, exactly, thank you. It is part of nerd culture. There is a tendency for people to look at it as something either childish or something to be made fun of, right?
Yeah.
And so classically the issue is, how do we pitch something that is such an ingrained thing in nerd culture to people who already view it like that and change their views, much less, you know, have them watch our content, right?
I mean, if I just briefly interrupt you there, if we refer back to your previous example of Tony Stark, and Marvel and comic books, and you just go back a few more years, and that was nerd and geek culture, was it not?
Ah, you've caught me there. Yeah. Well, the reason why I think anime in that sense is very different is really because the stigma around anime is a lot stronger, I would say. I think we can share with you perhaps a humorous anecdote. When we were pitching these ideas to various people, you know, to get funding for this for our company, we've had people ask us straight up, is this pornography? Is this a form of porn? Right. And, you know, we had to explain to them, no, it's not a form of animated pornography. Yeah, it is actually a form, it's just a new form of content creation.
Yeah.
Right. So in that sense, I think that helping the masses see that this is not something to be shy about, it's not something we're concentrating at the moment. What we are really concentrating on right now is helping people within the community realize that this is not something to be ashamed about.
Right.
And, you know, I don't take my words wrongly. I don't mean that everybody in the community currently is ashamed of VTubing, but rather there seems to be this sort of social awareness that we have to hide that we like this sort of content, or, you know, we can't publicly come out and do it as a source of living. So, in Malaysia alone, a lot of the community tends to be hidden. You know, we have a sizable community, I think we've mentioned in the article, of over 100 and now maybe even 200 Malaysian independent VTubers.
Mm.
But all these people are in hiding. They don't really want it
to be... And it's understandable, And it's understandable why they are wary of coming up into the public.
For sure.
They are not sure how this would be taken, because it's not just in Malaysia. It's almost quite a number of countries as well. So it's understandable why they were quite wary of, you know, opening up. Hence why we hope that at least if, you know, for example, you know, if maybe shilling ourselves a bit, but like that's why I hope that with Project Hikai as it goes on, it will hopefully inspire and encourage them to realize that, hey, you know, this is this, you know, you can come out.
Yeah, come out. We've got your back. We're looking after you.
We can stay together and stay together with us, you know, and then we'll be like, hey, you know, we'll get through this, you know.
So our concentration is not so much on getting public opinion on us to change, but getting our opinion on us to change.
Right.
That it's not something that we should be shy or ashamed about, because this is a really cool and interesting industry right now. And it's a very relevant industry. And you shouldn't, you know, I mean, it's fine for you to think of it as a hobby, but if you want to do this seriously, you want to take it to the next level, you shouldn't have to be ashamed of having to do that.
No, I completely agree. I completely agree. And, you know, during my research, I've come across, you know, VTubers who are, you know, physically disabled, for example, and they take part in this community, and they're very strong within this community.
Mm.
Have you had people approach you from within Malaysia that are in that situation as well, who are, you know, physically disabled or whatever, and want to kind of figure out how to do this? Because I'd imagine for them, and let's be honest, the thing about YouTube is, and why a lot of YouTubers do so well, is because of the way in which they look. And that's a horrible truth, but it is what it is.
Yep.
You know, and if you can in some way portray yourself behind a mask or whatever it is that you choose to use, that surely has to be a strength in some ways for you, right?
So when you talk about people in the community being disabled, you know, and so the unique thing about VTubing, really, it's that it's one of the only forms of content creation that truly allows you to represent yourself the way that you want to be represented.
Yeah.
So, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media you use might tell you, you can represent however you want, but let's be honest, you are tied by physical appearance. You're tied by how you look like and what, you know, your God-given features are.
And let alone if you can even perform any actions.
If we take a look away from people with disabilities and just talk about people in general, if I'm someone who feels a little introverted, I'm insecure in my physical appearance, you know, I might not feel like I want to put my face out there, but I want to be a content creator. So what do I do? Well, VTubing has allowed me to basically become anybody I want and really gain confidence in that way, you know.
It's empowering.
It's empowering. Yeah, exactly. You can be a cute girl. You can be an old man, a dog, a cat. Nobody cares, right? And so what we have seen is people with disabilities within the community taking advantage of this, really taking this and making interesting and new content. We see perhaps an example, and one of my favorite personal VTubers is Iron Mouse, right? Mm. She's a VTuber from the US, and she has CVID, I believe, which is short for Common Variable Immune Deficiency, being which basically a disorder which attacks her immune system, leaving her bedridden and indoors. Mm. And normally that would not only restrict her from being able to find a job, but also largely restrict your content creator abilities, because like you said, it is largely dependent on physical appearance, as unfortunate as that
and
is.
And physical performance as well.
Iron Mouse has amassed almost millions of views because she's funny, she's relatable, and she's one of the most honest people on the platforms, not only about her disorder, but how that has kind of helped shaped her to become this personality that she is today, which is someone who treasures everyone who watches her and welcomes them in with open arms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a couple of final questions before we wrap up. You know, obviously you have a huge interest in this, and you speak about this idea of community and how people shouldn't be ashamed of doing this. Is this why you decided to form an agency? Or, you know, I work on a business station. Is there money involved as well?
For me personally, at first, because when this whole VTubing thing exploded, I initially thought it was only located centrally on Japan only.
Right.
But then when it became the international phenomenon that it is, things started, especially in Southeast Asia, growing, in particularly in Indonesia and the Philippines. So I thought in my head, I was like, oh, whoa. I mean, you know, as a Malaysian, it's like, why does Malaysia not have any? And then that's one of the reasons. Then I went to research about it. I was like, hey, you know, this could be, at least personally for me, I feel like this VTubing thing is perhaps, could be the new generation / breed of entertainers. For example, like, you know, for the longest time, the most entertainers tend to be actors, right? You know, Hollywood, you know, that sort of thing. Then 10 years ago, it was normal YouTuber personalities. Now this could be the dawn of a new thing. And personally, for me, I will want to be a part of it, you know, to see it grow. Mm. I mean, of course, there is also the monetary value in it. But then, you know, that's obviously needed to get this supported and go up and going.
Yeah, yeah. And that, I suppose that leads on to my final question is, how did you manage to kind of get any funding for this? Is it bootstrapped? Do you guys just, you know, throw whatever you've got into this and get it started?
It was that. And we approached someone who had a stake in one of the more old traditional kind of industries, but was quite open to knowing about this new thing. And then this is also another reason why I started this with Joshua, is because when me and Joshua first pitched this idea to them, they were like, oh, this is interesting. Why don't you guys do it yourself? Hmm. And then that's when we realized that, hey, we actually can. We did the research and everything, and we think that this could be something that could be done. So it's mostly us with our own funds pushing into it, but we do have one investor who is, you know, up there looking at us, but we can't say who they are. So at least not yet.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure.
Yeah, no problem. It was a pleasure coming on board and talking about YouTube.
Really, really interesting stuff. Good luck with what everything holds for you in the future, yeah?
Of course.
Yeah, thank
course.
You. Yeah.
I've been on the phone with Jonathan and Joshua, the guys behind Malaysia's very own VTuber agency, Project Kikaya. Fellas, where can they find out more information should people be interested?
If you're ever interested in hearing more about us, we are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, and we do spend time dwelling on Reddit sometimes, but, you know, then much less.
All right. Thank you very much. This has been Tech Talk here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.